Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Our text for our meditation here this morning is recorded in the 103rd Psalm. We begin with the 20th verse. Bless the Lord, O you his angels, you mighty ones who do his word, obeying the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all his hosts, his ministers who do his will. Bless the Lord, all his works, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. These are your words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. You may be seated. In graduate school, I had a professor who often spent his summers teaching in a small seminary in Papua New Guinea. On one occasion, he reminisced about what that experience was like. He said, the first thing you need to know is that in Papua New Guinea, the Enlightenment still hasn't come yet. At first, most of us in this graduate program felt pretty good about ourselves. We thought he was commending us for our academic prowess. In reality, this really wasn't the case at all. For we thought he was lamenting their superstitious mentality. Perhaps they thought that any old sound in the night was nothing more than a bunch of maleficent forces, evil spirits. But it didn't take long for us to realize ultimately the joke was upon us. For when we listened a little further, we quickly realized that he was actually criticizing our post-Enlightenment tendency to so rationalize the visible world all around us that we were in danger of becoming completely oblivious to the invisible world that is surrounding all of us. In short, these fledgling pastors from Papua New Guinea weren't primitives. They weren't bumpkins or anything of that sort. For they recognize something that we so often forget. Namely, that there is a war going on right now between heaven and earth, and we stand in the middle of it. The prize is for our immortal soul, and therefore we dare not be oblivious to it. On this, the Feast of St. Michael and the Holy Angels, let us then pull back the veil and reflect upon angels and demons. First, we shall see that we should rightly have a fear of the angels and his demonic forces. Now, the devil and his minions weren't always our mortal enemy. In fact, they were once good angels, created like all the other ones on the 6 days of creation. Lucifer, in fact, a morning star as he was originally known, served man and served God quite faithfully, up until the time where man fell into sin in the garden. What exactly happened, we really do not know. But apparently the devil orchestrated a coup in heaven against the thrice holy God himself. Thus, in a desire to become like God and being willing to force it, take it by force, they ironically became something totally inhuman and utterly demonic. St. John describes it this way. Now war arose in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. The dragon and his angels fought back, but he was defeated. And there was no longer any place for them in heaven. And the great dragon was thrown down, that ancient serpent, who was called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. In the aftermath of this war in heaven and Christ's triumph over the devil upon the holy cross, the forces of evil are indeed curbed. But even though the devil is chained, so to speak, like a wild animal, he is still quite ferocious, and all the more if we dare to venture near him. In short, the devil and his demonic forces are now hell-bent on pulling the cosmic nuclear option. To be sure, they are no less cunning than before, but like a wild animal, they can no longer discern the good from the evil. And therefore, they are willing to use every trick in the book in order to deceive us, not only to evil, but more often to spiritual indifference. The reason for this is they are blind and are willing and desire nothing less than to take all of God's holy creation straight down to hell with them. For this reason, St. Peter rightly admonishes us, be so reminded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in the faith, knowing the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. Brothers and sisters, then, do not put off repentance and the spiritual renewal of your faith, because there is always another day. Avoid temptation like the spiritual Ebola virus it truly is. For the only quarter that the devil will ever offer you is when he already has you. And by then it will be too late. For the devil and his minions will already have possession of you. Now we shall see why we should rightly give thanks to the thrice holy God for sending St. Michael and the rest of the holy angels to defend us. While indeed a healthy fear of the angels is indeed a good thing, we rightly can take comfort and rest assured that we have a far greater force who fights by our side, the force of the angel of the Lord. St. Michael and all his holy angels, this angel of the Lord specifically, is the second person of the thrice holy Trinity, the Son of Man, Jesus Christ himself. He is the Panto Creator in Greek, the creator and ruler of all that is seen and unseen. We see this in his holy life as well as his innocent, bitter suffering and death on our behalf. For throughout his life, he cast out demons left and right. On one occasion, he even expelled an entire legion of demons out of a single man. What is more, he is the one who fulfilled what St. Michael could never accomplish. He is the one who did battle with Satan upon the holy cross, crushing the head of the old evil serpent for all eternity, thus bringing about a renewal of all reality, a recapitulation of all things in himself. Still, his grace knows no bounds, for he has not abandoned us here on this earth to our own devices. He does not have us sitting here facing a curbed and yet still dangerous sin, death, and the devil. No, he stands by our side watching over us. He provides us with his word and sacrament so that we might daily do battle with the forces of evil. And he sends his holy angels to watch over us and protect us, as you see on the cover of your own bulletin for today. The writer to the Hebrews writes, are they not all ministering spirits sent out to serve for the sake of those who are to inherit salvation? And the psalmist adds these beautiful and comforting words. He will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all of your ways. These angels are so invested in you and in your personal salvation. As St. Luke utters these words, he says, just so I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. We need not fear that the angels might overlook us or be indifferent to us. For our Lord himself declares, see that you don't despise one of these little ones. For I tell you that in heaven their angels always see the face of the Father who is in heaven. They not only watch over us in this life, especially we don't think they're watching, but also they are by our side at the moment of death. And when we breathe our last, we are promised that they will carry our souls home to be with the Lord forever in paradise. Angels, they truly are magnificent creatures. Some have even desired to be like them, for they certainly are more powerful than you or I. And yet, isn't it interesting? For as wonderful as they are, God did not unite himself with angels. He united himself with man. Thus, in the paradox of the Holy Cross, God became poor and lowly to raise us up to his divine glory, the bread of angels deigned to become the bread of mankind. In the mystery of the Holy Incarnation, the God-man truly became the measure of all things. Is not this a wonder? The angels indeed bow in holy wonder. Amen.